Hawks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday. Shortened week here on the program, but it's sort of the Wednesday of this week. Coming up on the program here in just a moment, we'll kick it off with Jerry Carl. But in the meantime, State Representative Shane Stringer in about a half hour, and then in that 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall, as we do usually on Tuesdays. And programming out 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. You text me, and I'll try to do my best to read whatever it is on air and respond to it. Just keep, for my sake, as a guy who's just reading your texts as they come in, keep the vulgarities out of it. That's for you, Joel and Summerdale. It just makes my life a lot easier because I can't read what you're saying on the air. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now, as I just mentioned, he is our congressman here in the 1st Congressional District, Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I guarantee you no vulgarity out of me.
I appreciate that.
I'm G-rated.
It's hard not to slip up, especially when you're like reading these things coming in at you. I don't know, like dropping an F-bomb in a text message to a radio show really drives that point home. But it's obnoxious.
Well, you do a good job. I appreciate your program. I truly do.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Speaking of things we can appreciate, what's the mood in Washington, D.C.? I mean, I think a couple of, probably three significant blows. That Chevron doctrine, I think, is so much bigger than we realize.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody's paying attention to that. No one understands the ramifications of that, especially to us on the Gulf Coast. Because we have, you know, just water issues, you know, drainage. We have issues and I don't want to burn up a lot of time getting into details, but, you know, you got a farmer's got a holding pond out in the middle of his field, and every farmer does. Well, according to the Corps of Engineers, that's navigable water. They want to take control of that and tell him what he can or can't do in that little temporary pond. All it does is hold water. Well, according to Chevron, they can't do that. So it changes the way we look at a lot of things, and also some of these lawsuits are in process. So I find it interesting to see how it's going to affect a lot of people that have challenged, especially the environmental community, because they kind of make things up as they go along anyway.
Yeah, a lot of pencil pushers, I think they're going to be nervous for their jobs. I mean, what's the point? Not that government ever really downsizes, but, I mean, like, I just imagine, like, you're a bureaucrat. What are you going to do all day now?
Isn't that a nice thought as a taxpayer?
Well, you know, and Congressman, I'll speak for myself here, but like being in that town and just being around those people that worked in the bureaucracy, I mean, they really thought they had clout, power, and able to, you know, change the world like one holding pond at a time. And now that's going away.
Yeah, when they write a bill, people don't understand. I've hadn't learned this up here. There's always a catch in that bill. There's always something that you can sue somebody on. So whoever wrote it, it's the only one knows where that suit's at. It's usually the environmental groups that find out where that little glitch is at, and they will sue the government based on that. So they'll get these huge settlements, and by law, we can't find out how much they got. Maybe $1 million, maybe $20 million. Could be $100 million. We have no idea. But that money goes back to these environmental groups to do it over again. So these environmental groups are very rich and very wealthy from taxpayer dollars. And you say, well, you're Congress, you should be able to do that. No, it's the courts that have done that. So through the Chevron again, it's going to open up a lot of avenues and give us a chance to push back on these bureaucrats. And because the bureaucrats run this town, I don't, you know, we're just we're just bling up here on a Christmas tree. But the bureaucrats run this town, and they always have, and they'll figure out a way to always will. So, anyway, the Chevron is a very exciting thing for all of us.
Yeah, I got to think so. Aside from that, the other two items, the Supreme Court going and, with the Trump immunity, and I don't know, it makes sense to me that the presidents, regardless of your political stripes, should have a degree of immunity. You shouldn't have to be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life thinking that a DOJ, for whatever reason, it's just retribution, or if it's just like, hey, this is a way to score some political points to rally the base coming after you criminally.
Yeah, so we were really, really, really close to becoming a third world country. That is our chance to pull back from it. That is our chance. So if you've got a president, regardless who it is, whether it's Obama, Biden, Trump, if they have to make a decision, they need to make that decision on what's best for the country, not what's best for them. And if they have to look over their shoulder knowing they're going to get sued the next a president that comes in because he's going to be from a different party, and they're going to make an example and try to make him look bad. If we had to live under that umbrella, this would be a different country. So the people that are upset about what came out yesterday, they're saying Trump won. Trump's not the winner here. But, you know, the average taxpayer in America, we're the winners because we don't have to go through this every 4 years. With the president suing the past president, you know, he said something nasty to him during a campaign, so he's going to find a way to, you know, stick it back to him. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, and I think Trump's going through it right now. I mean, the stuff that they've thrown at him, they are scared up on this hill right now. I'm still up here. Back in a few minutes, I'll go in and I'll open Congress and say a few words, and then I'll close Congress, so I'm the only congressman I think in town, but everybody's scared. Not everybody, but the Democrat Party is just—they're in shock. They're in shock, and I'm confused. I couldn't see how any judge, especially a conservative judge, would agree to what was going on. So I wasn't that surprised. I actually had yesterday. I had shorts and T-shirts on, so I walked over to the in front of the Supreme Court. I figured there'd be a big protest over there, and I wanted to go get in the middle of it, you know, with a hat and a pair of sunglasses on, just show my support as a civilian, as a John Q. Public, and heck, there wasn't nobody protesting. I was a little disappointed.
Well, there's still time. Maybe there'll be another chance in the future someday.
I'll show up again.
Well, I just... The DC judges, I mean, it's just my perception that they're what I guess, like, we used to have the Ninth Circuit over in the West Coast. It was way, way left, but somehow the Democrats have really commandeered that entire judicial circuit that really impacts government in a major way, haven't they?
So DC itself, I mean, it is a country within itself. The laws here that are on the books, they don't enforce some, they do enforce others. They're more vigilant here on a $70 parking ticket than they are somebody stealing stuff out of a drugstore. The joke is here, you got to be bleeding and shot if you call the police for them to actually come and attend to you or help you, mainly because they're so understaffed.
Well,
the police department is not appreciated.
It's not I'm kind of more the federal courts there, right? Like the federal courts of D.C. that adjudicate over like what you guys do and what the president does. And it's this whole January 6th stuff too. I mean, it's just infiltrated by, I mean, it's just full of liberal judges, isn't it?
It is. And if I understand it right, the party in control is supposed to control D.C. D.C. falls under the congressional domain. We can say what they can or can't do. We don't get into details like speed limits and parking stuff like that. But you know, on the federal court side, it is so loaded with such liberal judges. I mean, it'd take a lifetime to get that changed. So anything from a conservative standpoint that goes to the D.C., you know it's going to get kicked on the Supreme Court. Guaranteed.
Which is, it's just an impediment to allow what I want, you know, to any kind of a Republican who's in power, be it Congress or be it the White House. But anyway, I think that immunity ruling yesterday, you're right, because like in Brazil, that's what they do. The Supreme Court there has different sort of powers, but they go after past presidents all the time. You know,
we don't need that.
We don't need that in the United States, right?
No, we need to be looking at the future, not in the past. And yes, we want people prosecuted that have done things wrong. I totally agree with you. But when you take Congress and you take the president and all their focus on, like January 6th is a good example. The last 4 years I've been here, all this the Democrats have done is whip us like a bunch of children over January 6th. It happened. There were a handful of bad players. Let's get over it. Let's move on. We've got $34 trillion in debt. How about let's focus on some debt here? How about let's focus on getting the crime rate down in the country? But no, all they want to focus on is January 6th. All they want to focus on is how bad Donald Trump is for the country. You know, it gets frustrating. It truly does, because you feel like you're just stuck in mud. You can't get out. And I hope it's always been this way. I'm told it has not. But it really gets frustrating because it is, you know, it's one side trying to hurt the other side. It's just, instead of trying to focus on what we're sent here for, we're sent here to represent the people. Do you know there's liberals in my district that I should be representing also? Think about that.
Right.
We're here to represent the people. So let's be realistic. Let's don't pick sides. Let's do what's best for our country.
Joy by
we really got away from that.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Curl here on the program. Congressman, just a few more minutes here before we have to go. But talk about the debate last week and Biden's performance.
Wow.
I mean, what's the fallout there, you think?
So I'm a body reader. I think he came in there. I think he was over-medicated. I was watching his heart rate was racing like crazy. I think it scared him. I think he froze up. I think they over-prepared him. I think his short-term memory due to his health issues is not what it should be. The fallout is horrendous. When you get CNN and all the CNN talking heads to turn on the president, a Democrat president, you've really done something wrong. And I think for what they've been hiding over the last 4 years and during the last election, that, you know, they kept him in a basement and they were able to hide him. For once it was brought forth. I think somebody set him up. I think the Democrat Party wanted that exposed. They wanted people to see that. I think now they're trying to figure out who and how. And Sean Sullivan and I started this conversation some 3 years ago. I don't want him. I want him to stay and keep doing what he's doing. But they're going to try to take him out. The Democrat Party will. They cannot step over Harris. They're going to have to work a deal with Harris. She's probably going to be the governor of California next cycle. Then they'll look at somebody like a Newsom or somebody that's got somewhat of a chance, not much, but somewhat of a chance to win. But Biden is toast. I mean, his own people are turning on him. Democrats up here are just walking away from him.
Yeah, I mean, they're all
worried about the vote down line, too.
Well, it's all about power for these guys, but I got to tell you, I don't think Biden goes out without a fight. I mean, they got too much on the line here, right?
No, I agree with that. And Hunter encouraging him to stay in the fight, I should hope so. Because once his daddy gets out of office, Biden is free reign. I mean, they'll come after Biden. Probably the DOD will go after him. Excuse me. Department of Justice will go after Biden with everything they've got, or Hunter. So, yeah, he wants his daddy to stay in, and they're encouraging him to stay in, but there's nothing left there. Have you seen his skin color change overnight?
Well, that was quite a miraculous tan job there.
Well, somebody said, you know, we got to make you look younger. We got to get you a little more tan. I mean, so they're going to pull out everything they can to get it done, but it'll primarily fall back into what the congressional and the congressman up on the Hill will encourage him or discourage him. And they're going to be looking after their own career at this point. That's what they're more worried about.
I'm telling you, we're going to have a Democrat civil war. It's long overdue. They need to settle some scores amongst one another, and that's going to hurt them this cycle, I think.
Yeah, and don't think for a second that Warner and I mean, all these Democrats that are wanting to run for president, they're going to feel like they've been cheated. So that civil war is going to be right. You're correct. Spot on right there.
Carson, we got to get out of here, out of time, but best of luck to you up there. I'll buy you lonesome today, and let's talk again soon.
Jeff, have a great 4th, and everybody listening, just let's celebrate this country. Let's celebrate.
Congressman Jerry Carl there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just glitter and shine.